God. Let's just lift our hands up and love the Lord. Father, Lord of heaven, we're glad to be here tonight. Thankful to come into your place of worship and to stand before your people. Dear God, as I feel the mighty surge of your spirit, the mighty anointing of the Almighty God, we're so grateful tonight as we feel that wonderful electrifying current of heaven flow through our body. Oh God, as we feel that mighty stimulation, God, we ask in Jesus' name, Holy Father, that your secrets be revealed, the secrets of man's hearts be made known. And dear God, that all that we think or speak tonight would be our Heavenly Father, the great loving Holy Spirit within us, saying what he will for his own cause. We ask you to bless the people tonight, save the people, forgive the people tonight. Be with them in a mighty way, Father. Give us a great vision. Heal, save, and forgive. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. You can be seated. Good to be here tonight. See Brother Jim sitting out there, Brother Clayton, and our other brother here. Seem like I ought to know this brother too. Have I seen this brother Jim? What's his name? Caldwell, Texas. It's good to have you here, brother. It's a real pleasure. You love Jesus? Praise God. We've been having some wonderful meetings. God's been blessing us. And truthfully, some great, wonderful things have been taking place. I know that if we are not spiritual, we cannot see. I realize that. But oh, beloved friend, if you are spiritual, it is so beautiful. You know, I make such a fuss over it, and I'm always talking about it. And because I do make such a fuss over it, a lot of times people wonder, you know, they say, I just don't know whether that's right or not. You know, Brother Pike, he exaggerates that thing. But oh, I tell you, the half has never yet been told. The things that I am beholding in the Spirit and the things that I am having with God and the things that I am seeing has been hid from the foundation of the world. And they are fantastically wonderful. And I thank God for it from the bottom of my heart and my soul. I thank God for letting me behold these things. As I said last night, I was laying on my bed. The lights was turned out. And I was there on the inside of the room and talking with the Lord a little bit. The room was dark. And I was just laying there with my hands lifted up. And I was just talking to the Lord and just thanking God. I was saying, oh God, I'm so grateful. I don't have words adequate for expression. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to approach you. It is so beautiful. It is so wonderful. It is so outstanding until I don't know what to say. But I'm so grateful that you would be kind enough to me to let me see and let me behold these wonderful, marvelous things of God. People who do not understand, people who are not spiritual, people who have never seen into those wonderful realms and dimensions. They've never experienced it. Though they might be great, devout people, and they might go to church, and they might be very active, and they might even be doing great things for God. But you know, it's like the 70 that was with Jesus. Jesus had to fulfill the life of Moses, and Moses had 70. And when he brought the 70 to him to fulfill the Old Testament in every jot and tittle, being the prophet like unto Moses, whereas the Bible said, and God shall raise up a prophet like unto myself, and it shall come to pass that whosoever faileth to hear that prophet shall be cut off from among the people. But Jesus, choosing the 70, when he had chosen the 70, they worked great miracles, they did signs, they did wonders, great ministries. But one day Jesus said to them, said, lest you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you don't have any life in you. And the Bible said they went away. And they went away until there was only 12. And then he asked if the 12 would go, and they informed him that they didn't know any other place to go. Thou alone hast the word of life, or the words of life. Where then shall we go? These 12 became the foundation of the city. And the Bible says in Revelation that their names were written in the foundations of that wonderful city of New Jerusalem. So then, they had miracles and they had a great ministry. But when it come to the revelation of Jesus Christ and the unveiled mysteries of understanding what he was saying when he said, drink my blood and eat my flesh, the Bible teaches that they did not understand. And when Jesus preached to the people, those 12 would say, Lord, why do you speak to those people in parables, seeing that they understand not what you say? And Jesus said, well, this is the reason, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, and unto them it is not given. So they knew that he was preaching to the people one way and talking to them another way. And they thought, Lord, why are you doing that? Jesus said, seeing, having eyes, they see, and yet they see not. Having ears, they hear, and yet they hear not. That is, they do not hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. So then it is so grand and glorious, it is so wonderful to be partakers. Jesus said, he that overcometh, I will give to him to eat of the hidden manna. That fruit from the tree of life I will give to him. But this wonderful thing that God has promised unto us is only to the wonderful bride of Christ, and only to those that will make that glorious translation and change to come into that oneness with the Son of God as his very bone and flesh and body, to come into that wonderful place of God to eat that hidden manna of that wonderful revealed mystery. Jesus said, I have bread to eat or food to eat that you know not of, meat to eat. So then, he that overcometh. So then the secret is overcoming. Not very many people overcome. Not very many people in the world today overcome. They are religious. They go to church. They do religious things. But they do not live an overcoming life. But oh, how beautiful for them that overcome. Them that overcome. Praise God. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? I just feel him running all through my body everywhere. I just feel him all through my members in my body. So glorious to feel him. And the loving freedom of his presence. The springtime of his resurrection. Some of the people have been returning to their homes, and they don't want to go back. You can tell they're reluctant to go. One family left today going back to South Carolina, and they said that they had such a wonderful time. Said, I thoroughly enjoyed myself. And then some more left tonight, having to go back. Some of them says that they're going to return again before the camp meeting's over, if at all possible. I feel like God's doing something. The great problem of the world today, the church world in general, is that people are rejoicing over what has happened in the years gone by. And they are in great expectation of that which someday will take place. But they've not been fortunate enough to enter into this wonderful God age. In the age wherein God said, I am a present help in the time of need. They've not been able to enter into that yet. So then God is doing a great, marvelous thing. And as Brother Branham expressed it one time, he said it will move right through the people and they'll not be able to see it. I'm glad to have our brother from over in Eden. While we were there, I had our big tent set up in Eden. He came out and he was faithful to come and be with us. And he bought us some new steaks while we were there. We were in need of some steaks and bought them for us. He told me that he was coming down to Little Bethlehem. Said, if I get a chance, I'm coming down to Little Bethlehem. And I looked out and there he was today. And he's here with us tonight. We're certainly glad to have him and his companion Daniel with us tonight. Glad to have these brethren with us tonight, with the Jim and the brethren. And the others, Sister Pixie, Sister Nancy, we got Brother Key down and his wife. I understand that Larry, Brother Bullard's coming in from Mississippi maybe in the middle of the week. Is that right? I believe Bill was telling me that he was coming down. Is that right, Bill? It's good to have you here with us. And night after night as we come together to worship, let's let God have his way. This is exactly what has been done. A little late getting here. I want to say again that we're glad to be here, feel the presence of God, and know that the Lord is with us and that he's helping us and that God is doing a marvelous thing throughout the world. It means a lot to us to have the different ones come be with us, Brother Charles from Tennessee and Brother Jesse, the others that have come in to be with us. And it's just marvelous, these people from the Carolinas. It's always wonderful to have the different ones to come and take part in the camp meeting. And it's not only wonderful to have them and have their presence to share our enthusiasm and that we might share their enthusiasm, but it's so wonderful to know that in each meeting, and especially this camp meeting, that something fantastically wonderful is transpiring and taking place. This is the great thrill of being here and having a part in this wonderful thing. We expressed a few things this morning concerning the things that are taking place. And Brother Al Gonzalez ministered to us and brought forth some wonderful things. You know, you have people that are carnally minded. And the Bible said to be carnally minded is death. And they're carnally minded, and this thing isn't real to them. You know, many of those that were in Jesus' day, someone would say, he's a prophet. They say, oh, no, he's just the carpenter's son. Somebody said, he's the Messiah. No, it couldn't be like that. Oh, we know from whence he is. And they didn't understand. See, they didn't understand. They just didn't understand. And today, they still don't understand. Do you know it's a fact that Jesus came? The Bible said, when the time was fulfilled, then the Messiah came. That is, God sent forth his son. That son was made of a woman and born under the law. God had prophesied hundreds of years before, and the angel of God had stood before Daniel and said, it shall come to pass, Messiah shall come. And sure enough, according to the rulings and the readings, according to what he had said, the expression that was given from heaven by the angel, the Messiah came. The Messiah came after 483 years. The Messiah came right down to the day and entered into the city. And they knew him not. And though all of them were great scholars and was watching for his coming, well, they knew the prophecy of his coming. But though they knew the prophecy of it, they did not recognize him when he come. But when the time was fulfilled that the angel had spoken of and that God had said, then he came. Messiah came, just like it was prophesied. And so then what God has said today, by the prophets of old, he predicted it for today. And the things that God has said would come to pass, they've come to pass. And the things that God has told us would happen in this day, they are happening so beautiful. Just as he said, when the time was fulfilled, in their time and season. But as it was in Jesus' day, they did not see it. And the Bible said, these in this day shall not see when good cometh. So then, it is a true fact that they do not see. I want to say again that I'm so grateful, so thankful for these that are here to be with us. And I trust that they will continue to be with us through the camp meeting. Today is really the first day of it officially, but yesterday we had a good time because it really got started yesterday. And we've had a real wonderful time in the Lord. Now, you know, when you go to talk about the Word of God, very few people really want to know and understand the Word of the Lord. All people, as a rule, would like to feel the presence of God, the stimulating Spirit of God, and have the experience of that great, wonderful activation from heaven. They like that. They like that stimulation. They like that activation from heaven. And they like that anointing, that feeling, because that is life. But not too many like to retain the truth in their knowledge. They don't like that. And yet, that is the secret, brother, to the whole thing. Jesus said, "My words are spirit, and my words are life." And he said, "If you abide in me, and my word abide in you, you just ask what you will, I'll do it. I'll do it." I believe him in every word of it, don't you? I will do it. God has been good to us. He has done everything that he promised us. He has blessed us in many multiplied ways. I'm so thankful for his wonderful presence. I was telling the brethren this evening that we paid our last payment a few days ago on our twin-engine plane. The Lord has given us a couple of planes, and our boat is paid for. Now the cabin work is all finished on the top after having tore it apart, just tore it and wrecked it, you know. Went through it bottom top. Now she's beginning to look good and going to be beautiful. And the Lord has blessed us. And today, just before we came to service, probably around about 6 o'clock, we transferred the recording equipment. God has blessed us with a full studio of professional recording equipment. We transferred it from the rooms up to the top of the pyramid, and it was real spiritual significance in that the control room was coming into view, and everything placed within the pyramid and the capstone. It was so beautiful. Being the Day of Independence and today having to do with the change and what God has revealed to us concerning this, didn't get the letter back until we was at Eden, and I spoke of the great significance of the Eden meeting and then the letter from Reagan's coming in, showing his gratitude and expressing his feelings for what we had done. And then, of course, now coming down to the camp meeting here right at this particular time, it is so astoundingly wonderful. But the Lord blessed us, and we got the recording equipment set up to where we now can have our professional recordings without having to go to Atlanta or Hilltop Studio in Tennessee or wherever. The Lord blessed us. I'd love to hear Charles sing that song over my head. Well, maybe one of these days we'll get some of them things on record. I'd just love to have them for our own benefit, Brother Charles. And, of course, in the little tower and in the recording studio there, we have a video operation for our home ground TV showing. We've got it all over the crowns now, and with just a little effort, we'll be able to show it professionally. We've shown it professionally, but not... We still had a few little things that need to be gotten out of it in the sense of working things out to where there wouldn't be any blurs or any interference, whatever. But with what we've got up there now, we took all that out, have our own home entertainment with real godly, holy, wonderful blessings from God. And if we want to connect into the public services, all we've got to do to hook up to the line and all of it's professional, it can go right out. But in the meantime, we're interested in the campground and the virtue of the people and the development of your spirit and mind to the wonderful things of God, that you might be thoroughly furnished in the wonderful blessings of Jesus Christ, to grow up into the full measure, the full stature of that perfect man, Christ Jesus, that you might be ready for the translation. The Lord has blessed us, as I told Brother Al, in our world broadcast. It's a shortwave broadcast, and we don't have much time on there at the moment, although they've given us opportunity for a lot more, yet it is an astounding fact that it does go into all the world, all of the world, and countries that we couldn't get to before, we can get to now. And then, of course, our of the radio stations that God has suffered us to be on in the past that reached out a long ways, and still the ones we're on, still doing what we can. And we're beginning to spark up a little more interest in the printing department. Brother Steve is coming out with a new book right now. And people around the world are pleading for literature. Folks, they're literally pleading for literature. And they are saying that the things that they have received, even from the tract and the books, I wish you could read the letters. I'm telling you the truth without exaggeration. I wish you could read the letters. They say, Brother Pike, it is wonderful. Wonderful. As a matter of fact, we got a letter just the other day. And they said, Brother Pike, God's doing great things among us. And they had spoke of our literature bringing healing to them. Said, it's true. Said, I know for sure that it has brought healing to the people. And then, of course, they're having their revivals and doing their things. And they said, did you know that here we are having the blind eyes open? Said, but the thing that we want is that message that's coming through that literature. Said, Brother Pike, that's what we got to have. And they were literally carried away with those things. So it is wonderful being in more than every major language of the world now with our literature. If we could just increase our efforts, press the issue a little bit, and our people would become a little more stimulated, we could really do something for God, folks. But it's going to take effort. It's going to take a real stimulating interest to be able to hurl the message around the world, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I never have seen this thing of having a local church, you know, and you get together and you have a local church, you have a local body, and you have a community gathering, which I think is wonderful. But I never have seen that in the gospel in the sense that the Bible said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And there's billions of creatures. So then I can't see sitting at home. I can't see just laying down the sword of the Spirit. I can't see not doing anything for God. I just can't see that. You know, you've got to do something for God. Isn't that right? I've said this a number of times. Every king that I can read about in the Old Testament that was of any importance whatsoever, in springtime they went out to battle to enlarge their kingdom. You know, and to take in new grounds. And so it is with the preacher. In the springtime of the inspiration of God, he goes out to battle to enlarge the borders of his garment and to take in great and mighty areas of greater power and dominion. He goes out to battle the devil, not in the natural warfare that we have. That is a spiritual thing, and the weapon of our warfare is mighty. But we go out to cast down the imaginations, the carnality. Go into areas where the devil has set up political strongholds and social strongholds, religious strongholds, having taken the people into captivity. We go there to battle. And after a while, we set up a little fort, and we get a few people, and we get a stronghold. And through that, after a while, we work in there, and we subdue that whole area. And our kingdom gets greater and greater. And God rejoices, and the angels rejoice, because that wonderful Christ of heaven that's sending us out to battle, as the Bible says, the men of old prayed, Father, don't send me out to battle, lest your presence go before me. But as his wonderful presence goes before us and he sends us out to battle, we enlarge his glorious kingdom, and the wonderful kingdom of God is spread abroad. And more, the Lord subdues the earth, and the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, that he might reign forever and ever. But in this wonderful thing, God is working with us, for he is, the Bible says, the Lord of hosts is mighty in battle. And he's got some mighty generals too. And he's got some mighty helpers. They are mighty in battle. And they're men of war. Some of them will take up the sword with you that quick. They're men of war. And like the Benjamites back there that had their little slingshots, the Bible said they didn't miss at a hair's breadth. God's got some men that can use that sword and that little sling of faith and that little stone of the word till they won't miss at a hair's breadth. If you rise up against them, they'll bring that sword forth and that word, and you're just done for. That's all. You know, there's one thing about David. When David walked through the land, men shook and trembled because he was such a mighty man, such a mighty man of valor. And everybody was dancing around and singing, you know. David slays his thousands and thousands, tens of thousands, and he runs through a troop and he leaps over a wall. And you know why he did that? Because God was with him. The Bible said he'd fight till the sword would cleave to his hand. His courage was so great that you couldn't quench the courage of David. He was such a man of valor. He had such a perseverance that when he got the sword in his hand and he started fighting, when he got through, he had to take it like this. You know, it done froze to his hand. You ever work till your hand cleave to what you... I've done that, Brother Charles. I didn't know that would do that. But I worked until my hand would cleave to what I had, put it in long hours. And I had to do it like this. And this is the truth with no exaggeration. It wouldn't come open and I'd have to do it like that. And hold it like that until finally I'd get it all open. David did that. He actually fought till he couldn't turn the sword loose. You know what? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you and I had that kind of drive and vision and perseverance to where we would be men of war and great men of valor and men that would fight, and when people would see us coming into the area, they'd say, glory to God, hallelujah, glory to God, here comes a real soldier of God. We can do it now. We can do it now. Wouldn't you like for folks to speak of you like that and think of you like that? We can do it now. Somebody said, but, what if the police rise up? It don't make no difference. So what if somebody else rises up? Don't make no difference. Glory to God, we can do it. We can do it. Somebody said, oh, well, you never had that experience. I've had all kind of experience with them. That's almost got to be a secondary thing now, something new coming on the scene. Fight. Fight for God. Fight against disease. Fight against weakness. Fight against persecution. Fight against the devil. Fight against the law. Fight against the government. Fight against anything that rises up against Jesus Christ. And keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. Don't ever relinquish. Just keep on keeping on. You say, can we do it? We have done it. Prevailed in every case. Still doing it. Still moving on out for God. We can do it. As a matter of fact, over in India, it would be wonderful if you really wanted to persevere for God, just to step over into the land of India, shake off the fear, go into the heathen lands and among the heathen people, see the suffering, see the hungry, see the people that need deliverance. Meet real devils and demons. Bring deliverance to the people. Can you do it? You can do it, but you've got to mean business. You've got to mean business. You can't play. You've got to mean business. It's so wonderful to be a Christian. There's things that are taking place in heaven, folks. Have you ever looked in on heaven? If you've never looked in on heaven, you need to look in on heaven. Well, there are things that are taking place in heaven. We've been dealing with a lot of things lately. And having been off in the tent meetings for a good little bit, we haven't had the time to be here like I'd like to be here. You know, a minister, he wishes there was about 100 of him. And some of the people wish they didn't have the one they got. They wish it was less than what they already have. But anyway, Brother Jim, he's got so much to do, you know, he needs to be about 10 folks. And like David said, he looks around, you know, to have somebody encourage him. There ain't nobody, so he has to encourage himself. And just has to keep on going. But nevertheless, there are those that love God, and they are trying to do something for Jesus. I feel the Lord here tonight. Feel a wonderful spirit. And I hardly know where to start from time to time when I go to preach, because there are so many things that are so wonderful, and it takes so long to be able to teach just a little bit of it. And yet it is so needful. And that I do not know, I personally do not know how that the church is going to be translated without it. If somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, we've got the gospel. And that we've got the gospel, then the gospel is going to translate the church. That's why we're preaching it. But then on the other hand, the question arises, if that is true, why has the church been translated? If that is true, why then has the church not been translated? It's been preached for a long time. You know what it is? There's a difference. There's a difference. There's something else for the church. That's what it is. Now you say, now wait a minute, Brother Pike, what do you mean there's something else for the church? There's something else for the church. Jesus said, he that overcometh, I've got something for him. There's something else for the church because the Lord emphatically states in his word that it is not given unto them that hear the gospel out there. The Bible said the gospel is to go into all the world, to every creature, and the end shall not come until it has been preached to every creature. But then he said it is not given unto them. What is it that is not given unto them? Jesus said you had to preach the gospel. In Matthew's, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why is it that it is not given unto them? He said it was given unto them, unless there's something else he's talking about. See, it is not given unto them, the Bible says. Now, it is given unto them to hear the gospel. So then, is the gospel to translate the church in the sense of what we say of preaching the gospel? Truthfully, the gospel is to translate the church. But then Paul spoke of another gospel. There is also another gospel. There is an everlasting gospel. And there is another gospel that's not a gospel at all, Paul spoke of, that's preached as a gospel. So then when you say the gospel, it depends on what we're speaking of, and it depends on what we're saying. And when we say the gospel to every creature, then is every creature going to be translated? No, only they that believe the gospel. And what happens to them that believe the gospel? Them that believe the gospel are those that he spoke of, whereas he used the terms, it is not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but unto you it is given. So then what is going to translate the church? The mysteries of the kingdom. That's why it is so important to honor Paul in his revelation, whereas he said there was made known unto me the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, or much revelation, and being the overseer of the church, the Gentile church, which God was bringing, in which church you and I are, even the body, the mystic body of Jesus Christ, hearing and believing in this and knowing this concerning the mysteries, he said unto us, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of the mystery, or the spirit of revelation. So then what we need, beloved friend, is the spirit of revelation. Let's read in chapter 10 now. We referred to this a time or two. And chapter 10 is not what I'm wanting to speak from. But let's read in chapter 10 concerning the end of the mystery. Chapter 10, and I saw another mighty angel. That's Revelation chapter 10. I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. The angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kings. Now, here in Revelation 11, Revelation 11:7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought in his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then it says, And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Goes on to speak of persecuting the woman, that you're familiar with in the Scriptures. But the thought here that I'd like to think on for just a few minutes has to do with war in heaven. I don't know whether or not God will let me speak concerning the war in heaven. I'd like to. While I was in Florida a few days ago, the Lord spoke to me, showed me a great revelation taking place. And on a Sunday morning, we went out to the pier. And they had the pier built on out into the water, so we went down a long ramp over some marsh. Out on this little pier that had a little shed over it, some benches, and some of our people went out there with us, and that there was two or three families that was visiting at that time and some working on the boat. We went out there together, and I began to talk to them about the things of God. And a great thing was taking place, and I wish we'd had a tape of the things that was said. But I could see that some of our people did not understand what we were saying, and yet they gave great interest to what we were saying, and some of them perceived some of the things that we were saying. But while we was talking, I just lightly touched on war in heaven, what war in heaven is, and what God was saying concerning war in heaven. And I wish that the Lord would suffer the anointing to be so one night or one day, whenever, that I could speak about the war in heaven. Because it's a beautiful thing and it connects with the wonderful things of God. But tonight, I thought maybe we might comment a little bit here and there, and as to whether he'll just open up and say something or not, you know, that's up to him. But I'd still like to comment a little bit and say some things. Revelation 10 and 7, John said, I saw this angel. He had feet like pillars of fire. And he said over his head was a rainbow. And he was clothed with a cloud. His face was like the sun as John looked at it. This angel of Revelation 10 is a very special angel. And he has a great meaning, a great significance. This angel suddenly appears on the scene at a very significant moment. And that moment is right between the sixth and the seventh trumpet. Just before the seventh trumpet sounds, this great and mighty angel appears on the scene. He must have been a huge thing. Because John, in looking at him, said he had one foot on the water over here, and he had one foot on the land over here. My, what a great, great sight that must have been. What a huge thing that must have been. And he had a book in his hand. But this angel appeared right after the sounding of the sixth trumpet. Now, most of you are familiar with the trumpets, especially our brethren that are preachers. But remember, in the fourth chapter, the church ages close out. I remind you of this a lot of times, and I go back and I make reference to it, that you might get a continuity of thought, and that you might get a sequence of thought, to where you can know what's happening, and you can place it all together in a sequence, one thing after another, and tie it together to where you can understand what John is saying. For all of the things of God have a great meaning, and all of the things of God have an end. And so then in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, we see that the church ages have come to an end. The first chapter, we see John there, and we see Jesus in the midst of the candlesticks, holding the stars in his hand. And we see this wonderful Jesus as though the sun was shining in his strength. And then all of a sudden, things begin to change from that. And the second and third chapter, we begin to see the church ages come in as they are made mention of. And then after mentioning those things, all of a sudden, ending in the third chapter, the church ages, finally the fourth chapter opens up with a door open in heaven. And we've commented and spoke on the door open in heaven and what the door is, how the door got open and what it was, and when it happened. Now, at the fourth chapter, when this door was open, all of a sudden a voice said to John, "Come up hither." And the Bible said John went up. And when John went up, he began to see great things. He saw the throne of God, and he saw the elders around the throne. And as he did, the fifth chapter tells us that all of a sudden there was a lamb that appeared from somewhere. And here is this great, wonderful one came on the scene. Everybody was looking. Everybody was watching. Because the Bible said sitting on a throne, there was somebody that had a book in his hand. And having this book, the Bible said that they had begun to search for somebody to open this book. And the Bible said there was nobody that could open the book. There was no one in heaven nor in earth was found to open the book. God looked through heaven, all through heaven. There was Michael, there was Gabriel. There was the great ones of heaven, the mighty angels, the most powerful things that eyes could behold. But not one of them could open the book. They didn't have the power. They didn't have the magnificence. They didn't have the strength. Though they had great and mighty strength, but they did not possess the strength that it took to open that book. And so then they searched through the earth, and no doubt they looked back as they flipped the pages of time back. And there was Abraham the Great, the father of the faithful. And there was the mighty Elijah. And there was the great and mighty men of old. There was Samson that rent the lion like a kid. And thumbing through the pages, there was the mighty Moses. But a voice said, "And there is no one that can open the book." And then they began to search under the earth. And they looked under the earth. And there was those mighty beings there. They were there. Not Elijah that had gone away. But those that had laid down, even many of the prophets. And those, of course, like Abraham. And they searched through all of the earth. And there they saw the great ones like Noah. And they saw the great ones that lived before the flood. But there was no one that could open the book. And finally the Bible said, appearing in their midst, there came forth a lamb. Isn't that something? There came forth a tender, gentle, sweet, wonderful lamb. And he'd just come out in the midst of all of these great and mighty men, these men of power, these dynamic figures, these great celebrities, kings, priests, rulers, millionaires, everybody in heaven and in earth. And here he comes out in the midst of them, a little lamb. And there he stood, and something from somewhere spoke out. A voice from somewhere said, "Weep not, John," for John was bawling. He was crying. According to the Bible, he was crying. You say, why was he crying? Because he knowed he was going to hell. Are you listening? He knowed he couldn't have eternal life. He knowed he was cut off. And he knowed all of humanity was cut off. Because he knew, he was made to know that this book that had to be opened, that it was the book of redemption, and it held everything for the redemption of human beings. The earth could not be redeemed. The lost cause of God, as we say. There was nothing that could be redeemed. The trees, the birds, the animals, the beauties of life. Life couldn't be redeemed. Human beings couldn't be redeemed. Nothing could be redeemed because nobody could open the book. And John wept. The Bible said he wept much. He was so tore up, he wept. He saw everything was lost, and God went all through heaven. And John no doubt said, my God, nobody in heaven can open this book. And then when God went all through the earth, he said, nobody in the earth can open this book. And then when he looked down below the earth, he said, no one below the earth can open this book. And John wept much because, you know, you would think like this, my God, if nobody's in heaven and nobody's in earth, nobody under the earth, that means nobody can open the book. But then all of a sudden, this Lamb, he comes on the scene and he appears in the mist. And the voice said, weep not, John. One hath prevailed to open the book. Even the Lamb, he hath prevailed to open the book. And the Bible said he walked up and he took the book. He took the book. And then Revelation 6 tells us that when he had taken the book, he began to rip the seals off. And one of the seals was open. And he went on down through the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation until six of those seals had been taken away. And only one of those seals remained. That seal that was to be opened in the eighth chapter of the book of Revelation. Are open for the eighth chapter of the book of Revelation. To bring forth the seven trumpets that we're referring to tonight. Those trumpets that were to sound. But here in the sixth chapter he opened it up. One after another. Opened the book up until he got down to that sixth seal. And when he opened that sixth seal, the Bible said the heavens departed as a scroll. And he saw right into the heavens. And the Bible says that the heavens shook itself and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree that shakes her untimely figs. And then in the seventh chapter of the book of Revelation, before the sounding of the trumpets and the 30 minutes of silence in heaven that comes into the eighth chapter, here in that seventh chapter, God seals 144,000 with his precious seal. And there John looks into the earth and sees this thing happening in the earth. And then he turns away and he looks into heaven and he sees this great multitude that's been washed by the blood of the Lamb before the throne of God. He sees them there. Now, it is very obvious that this 144,000 was sealed to keep those trumpeters from bringing the judgments of God upon them. In that they were in ignorance. And the thing that had happened to Christ, they were ignorant in it. The Bible said that God held them in ignorance and did not let them do this horrible thing with a will and with a knowledge or a conscience of sin. So he protected them, the Bible says. So he was able to seal them when the judgments of God came upon them that were not in ignorance, that did know that Jesus was the Messiah and had done the horrible things that they'd done. And the Bible bears it out that on through Revelation 8, Revelation 9, and Revelation 10, and on into Revelation 11, that when these locusts were turned loose, and the bottomless pit was opened up, and these trumpeters sounded on through Revelation 11, down to Revelation 11:15, when the last trumpet sounded. All through that, the Bible said, the voice said, you cannot hurt those that are sealed in the foreheads. Hurt the men that are not sealed, but the 144,000 you cannot hurt. And then in Revelation 12, there's war in heaven. Revelation 13, Lucifer's cast out. He personifies himself. He comes up out of the water. In Revelation 14, that 144,000 stands on Mount Zion. There, the Master stands with them. But Revelation 12, there is war in heaven. Now, I want you to notice this just a minute now. War took place in heaven. There was war in heaven. War, you say, Brother Pike, what do you mean war in heaven? There was war in heaven in the days of Daniel when Daniel prayed to God. Daniel fasted and said, I was mourning for 21 full days. And then all of a sudden the angel of God came and stood before him. There was war in heaven. The angel came and told him, said, I've got a fight. I've got a battle. I've got to go back and still fight. And he said, Daniel, O thou beloved man of God, from the very first time that you begin to pray and seek God, from the very first time that you turned your voice, your face, and your efforts toward heaven, said, we heard you, Daniel. We heard you. When you begin to pray and call on God, said, we heard you. Folks, when you begin to pray, God hears you. God hears you. You say, Brother Pike, how do you know that? The Bible said we know that he hears us. We know that he hears us. His ears are ever attended toward the cry of the righteous. And we know that God hears us. And the Bible said if we know that God hears us, then we know that we have the petition that we desire of God. Isn't that right? So then God said, Daniel, from the time that you begin to pray, that is speaking through the angel, said, we heard you. But said when we got ready to answer your prayer, it wasn't that easy. Are you listening? Said, when we got ready to answer your prayer, Daniel, it wasn't that easy. Said, there was something that had to be done. I sent the message back down, Daniel. I sent your blessing down and I answered your prayer. Said, but on the way down, when the angels of God begin to fly swiftly through the heaven, and as they started down with the answer, said, here in this heaven, in the second heaven, mind ye, in this heaven, there was a great and a mighty interference, and angelic powers and beings begin to come together. And there was a clash. Folks, let me tell you something. Angels are real. Did you know that? Fallen angels or good angels or whatever. You know, just as the angels of God come to minister to Jesus after his fast to give him strength, so does evil angels come, just as Satan and Lucifer. There did, as we say, coming to take your strength away from you. They can overshadow you and they can cause you to be fearful and they can cause you to be afraid or they can cause you to have a fear and a complex, cause you to be bound up in such a way that you'll go weak and you won't be able to do anything. This is why David used the terms, my heart is fixed and evil tidings will not trouble me. I've got my confidence in God. I believe God will stand with me. I believe that God is with me, David said. So then when a thing would come to David's mind and somebody would say, David, the enemy's coming. There's no hope. David say, take courage. God's still with us. God's still with us. The prophet standing there and the little servant working with him saying, my God, oh my Lord, the enemy's coming and the alien powers is all around us and here we stand. And the prophet of God looking into that other world and into that other dimension said, take courage. Everything's all right. Paul on that boat and the storm raging and the little boat just tossing about every which way, not knowing which way to go and everybody shaking and trembling. Paul said, take courage, God spoke to me. Isn't that wonderful? See, to have a word from God, words that are fitly spoken like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. And here those words were, take courage, friend. God's with us. God's on board. God will help us. That's where the man of God comes in. If you don't have a man of God, you can't have a word of God. Somebody said, well, God will give me a word. God will never give you a word unless you have faith in God. It is needful that you have a man of God, or it is needful for you to stay in the place with God to where you can get a word from God. For if all the fear comes down upon you, you don't know what to do. David was backed off in a cave over there. And he couldn't get out and fight. He couldn't do anything. The enemy had him oppressed. And it looked like there was no hope. And David began to call on God because his enemies had prevailed against him. And when your enemy prevails against you, something's wrong with you. Are you listening? I said, every time that Satan rises up against you and prevails against you, something's wrong with you. Because the Bible said, if your ways please God, he maketh even thine enemies to be at peace with you. And all of the paths of God are peace. So then, there's something wrong when your enemy prevails against you. David backed up over there. He knew that things hadn't been right. And old David began to repent. The Bible said, in the day of adversity, consider. If your ways please God, God makes your enemies to be at peace with you. If you're having problems, then start thinking it over. Start calling on God and asking God to help you. And God will get the thing out of the way and everything will be all right. And God will fight your battles again. Your enemy will come out before you one way and flee before you seven ways. And you'll stand like Daniel coming out of the lion's den. You'll stand like the Hebrew children coming out of the fire furnace. And somebody will say, hey, don't you remember the trouble that that fellow was having? Don't you remember the things that was happening to that man? I mean, they were really oppressing him and they really had him put down. But look at that fellow. He's there. He's the victor. He come out of it. God met his needs. God healed him. God done something for him. You know, I think I'm going to serve that God. I think I'll talk to that man. I think I'll see old Daniel and the Hebrew children and find out what this is they worship and who this is that they communicate with. It looks like he looks after his own. And so the God of heaven is exalted. And the religion of God, the true religion, is spread abroad. And everybody sees the man of God and the woman of God. And everybody sees these great, wonderful powers and victors in the earth. The body of Jesus Christ. And they see this great superhuman perseverance. And they say, my God, this is what I'd like to be like. And so then they take courage and they come to the man of God. So then you can get a word from God. The little servant, he was shaking, but the prophet wasn't troubled at all. That prophet just looked around and he saw the fiery chariots. He was looking into heaven. He saw the prancing horses. And he just stood there with all confidence. Glory to God, he stood there. Why shouldn't he stand there with confidence? What did he have to worry about? The little servant couldn't see anything. He was blind spiritually. And here comes the alien powers, and here he's just shaking like a leaf in a windstorm. But see, here stands the prophet back here. He's confident. He isn't troubled. The Bible said, let not your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. Don't let your heart be troubled. And the prophet just stood there. And no doubt that little servant thought, well, what's the matter with this madman? Don't he know they're about to slay us? But he just stood there, and when the prophet realized that the servant was about to lose confidence in him and in God, fear was about to overwhelm him, what did he do? What did he do? He said, Father, open his eyes. Folks, that's what I want God to do. Why are you afraid? Why do you run? Why don't you have the perseverance? Why is it you don't stand with me? And let's do something for God, not only here, but out through the field and throughout the world for God. Why do we quiver and shake and back up every time the powers of the enemy come in? Why can't you take my hand in God and let me take your hand in God and let's go forth and do something for God throughout the entire world? Why can't we do that? See, why be afraid? But the prophet opened his eyes, or God opened his eyes. And all of a sudden he saw those prancing horses. He saw those chariots of fire. And boy, he took courage. Glory to God, let them come on. I ain't afraid. I'm not afraid. You know how he got his courage? He saw the move of God. He got his eyes open to the things of God. He realized there was something there that could fight his battle that he had never seen before. Oh, brother, if you could just realize tonight, sister in Christ, if you could grasp the fact tonight that God is beside you, that the Bible said that wherever there's two or three in my name, that I am in the midst and the angels of God encamp round about you, and those angels are just as much about you as they were the prophet. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, you know, I don't believe that. Well, I tell you what, you're in bad shape if you don't believe the Bible. You need to be born again. But if you could just get it in your mind that those angels are at Bethlehem, those angels are with you, and you do have a guardian angel, that wherever you go, that guardian angel is with you. And the Bible said, and he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and they watch over you, and they walk with you, and if you get spiritual enough, and if you make the proper contact with God, you'll be able to see them, you'll be able to communicate with them, and you'll take that super strength that Jesus got when the Bible said the angels of God came to minister to him. Because the Bible teaches that the angels of God are ministering spirits to them and for them that are heirs of salvation. So then, God said, Daniel, I heard your prayer. The angel said, Daniel, we've been listening in, son. We heard your prayer. But said, we had a problem. What was the problem? Well, if somebody was calling for help here in this building, and I was out yonder where the fountain is spewing so beautifully right now, and I was standing out there, and somebody was hollering for help in here, and I started to run in here to meet him, and I met a fellow out there about 350 pounds, and he was a professional wrestler, a boxer, and he was ready to break my neck about the time I come through the door, I'd have a problem. If you never met nobody like that, you won't know what a problem is. You'd have a problem. And see, when that come down from heaven, those angels came sweeping down out of heaven, there was a problem. Here come great and mighty powers. The Bible teaches the angels are great and they're mighty in power. And here come those great beings of great force and great power. And they begin to sweep in on those angels, those messengers that was coming down from heaven. Have you ever thought of it? Did you know that a preacher is a messenger? Do you know he's referred to as an angel? Have you ever found that out? That he's referred to as an angel. He's God's messenger. The Bible said, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy, that publishes peace, saying there's a risen Savior. And the Bible teaches that that man that comes to you is an angel of God. He is a messenger. And the Bible said, be careful how you entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unaware. So then, there came the angels down. But as those wonderful, beautiful beings of the Spirit came sweeping down out of glory, all of a sudden here come these other angels. And they were also great supernatural beings, because they too were angels. They one time were angels of light. And even now, they still have access to the second heaven, which I would sure love to preach on. But anyway, here in that second heaven, they have a dominion. They have a power. And all of a sudden, here comes those angels sweeping down from glory. And they come down from God's dominion and God's place of heaven. And they come sweeping down, great, mighty, beautiful beings. Like the speed of light, they come down. And all of a sudden, as they come down in their grace and in their power and in their magnificence, bringing that message, you know, coming on down, just like Gabriel would come, or Michael would come, and one saying to another, glory, 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 down, down, down we go. Down to pick that babe of Christ up and to lift him up and to elevate him. We go down to announce that there's something good about that's about to happen. Daniel, ain't too much longer, and I'm going to fly over yonder. The Bible said flying swiftly. I'm going to fly over yonder. I'm going to sail over yonder. And I'm going to meet a little virgin by the name of Mary. And I'm going to tell her something that's going to thrill her heart. And I'm going to tell her about her coming Messiah. It won't be long. The Bible said, and in that day Michael shall stand for his people. Gabriel coming to bring the message. Michael the great warrior fighting his way through. And yet you see them sweeping down from heaven, you know, communicating one with another. And those angelic beings, ministers to heirs of salvation. See those beautiful ones coming down from God's throne to minister to you, to watch over me. Hundreds and thousands of them sweeping down to different individuals in the world. Isn't it wonderful to know that though there's billions of people in the world, yet there's millions upon millions of angels, legions of angels. And all over the world, those angels are everywhere with different people sweeping down and communicating with them and watching over them and keeping them from having wreck and keeping the devils and demons away from them and warring and fighting all the time. You say, Brother Pike, what are you talking about? I'm talking about war in heaven. I'm talking about war in heaven. The Bible said there was war in heaven. And Michael and his angels fought. And the dragon and his angels fought. And the Bible said they fought with each other. There was a war in heaven. And when you look out there and you see the dark storm clouds and you see these clear clouds over here coming together, the hot and the cold coming together, and you see them meeting, those forces meeting one another, and as they begin to clash, as they begin to wrestle with each other, and all of a sudden you hear a clap of thunder and something pops like that, and a streak of lightning comes across the elements, and you look, and hundreds of thousands and millions of volts of electricity go out as vitamins drop into the earth, and that which nurses the earth and the herbs, and all of this falls out of heaven. Enough lightning in one thunderbolt to run a city. Wild, static electricity, unruled and harnessed, coming down, striking at humanity. And wherever it hits, if it's a building, if it's an individual, whatever, it can mean death. Something that's unharnessed. But then look around and see the wonderful electricity. See this wonderful thing that are the ministering spirits, as we would say, that feeds us, that warms us, that gives us light, harnessed. That is to say, God's way, God's system. Something coming down from heaven through a systematic order of the Word of God and coming to us in measure and in proportion to where we can receive it and enjoy the wonderful things of God. And so then there was war in heaven. God said there was war in heaven. And God said, Daniel, I heard you. I heard you and I sent the answer. But when these angels came down here in this realm where Satan has set up his kingdom, being here in this realm, he intercepted them. And there was war, and we fought and fought until we broke through. You know what's the trouble with the church? You know what's the trouble with me and you? And what's the trouble with people like us? Is we don't persevere. We don't stay with it long enough. We don't pray till we break through. We don't get the answer. Daniel said, I was mourning 21 full days. I mourned. I stayed before God. I called on God. And after a while, the light broke through. That's where our problem comes in. We don't persevere. We don't travail. We get a pain in the side. We get a little problem. We get a little bit weak. And we say, oh my God, I've got cancer. I'm going to die for sure. See, and that's all the devil wants is a good confession of his ability. Isn't that right? And once he gets that confession, he knows he's got you, because the Bible said God will feed you the fruits of your thinking. Is that right? What are you thinking tonight, folks? God will feed you the fruits of your thinking. But then if you take that outlook, you know, you get that inspiration from God. You read that Word of God and you get built up in God, and you build up your faith in God. Build up yourself on your most holy faith. Then all of a sudden when that thing begins to come in, you think, my God, Lord, let it come. I can handle it. I know I can't do it by myself, but by Christ I can do it. By the Word of God I can do it. Let it come, God. I can handle the thing. And then the devil, he begins to shake like this, because he knows that you're thinking those thoughts is going to throw him out. The Bible said our weapon is of warfare, which causes the battle in heaven. Said it's not carnal, but it's mighty. It's not a gun, it's not a knife, it's not a tank, it's not a bomb, but it's mighty. And the Bible said to the casting down of imaginations. Are you listening to me tonight? You can cast down imagination. The Bible teaches that we are not to fellowship wild imagination. We are to think what God's Word tells us to think. We're to think like God. We're to talk like God. We're to be like God. And we're to think thoughts that God gives us. If the Word says it, then that's the way it is. If you get up in the morning and you're weak and you can't hardly get off of your bed, don't think them kind of thoughts. Don't do that. Because if you do, the devil will make havoc out of it. But think these kind of thoughts. When you get up and you're weak and you can't hardly go, say, the Bible said, let him that is weak say, I'm strong. I'm strong, Jesus. Glory to God, I'm strong because of what you did at Calvary. Oh God, I believe that. I might be weak in this body. I might be weak in my mind. My brain might not seem to function properly. But God, you said it. I believe it. I'm strong in the Word of God. Strong in the faith of God. Strong in the Spirit of God. And all of a sudden, that supernatural force, that great, wonderful God begins to move through you. And you know what? This is where eternal life comes in. To believe that you are strong in Him. Let the weak confess strength. Don't ever confess defeat. Don't ever start thinking that you've got cancer. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, I've got the symptoms. I know I've got the symptoms. I know you have, because they've got it published in the paper. And the physician says, come and look at these symptoms. And when you put this all together, you've got the symptoms. And the devil says, I've got somebody else. I've got somebody else now. They've got the symptoms. You got the symptoms, all right. The symptoms is you're thinking wrong. You got the symptoms, all right. You're thinking the way the devil wants you to think. That's what the symptoms are. But I'll tell you what, if you'll throw that out of your mind and you'll begin to think the way God wants you to think, you'll lose all the symptoms. Are you listening? You lose all of those. You say, what'll happen? It'd be like Paul over there when he had the symptoms. When that snake bit him, he had all the symptoms. Don't you think so? Are you listening? But when old Paul looked away to God and accepted the word of God, and the Holy Ghost came rushing through his veins, and that wonderful scripture, the word of God, came whirling back to Paul. Though that poison be there, it shall not hurt you. No, Paul rose up, and that spirit moved through Paul's veins, and it killed that poison just like that. And some of those critics standing around said, that preacher's had it. Now, I know the sea didn't get him, but that serpent got him. And they just kept watching you. We know what kind of snake that is. We're familiar with him. No, Paul, he just kept right on. Hallelujah. He might have said, I wonder if we could get a sandwich somewhere. Hallelujah. I'm hungry. You know, coming out of that ship or whatever, they throw the food away anyway. And he might have got over there quivering a little bit because he was cold. And he might have quivered a little bit. And he said, I see it. There he goes. You know, sometimes a preacher, you know, he's a human being. And he gives forth a few human reactions. And somebody said, there he goes. He's weak. He's gone. And then the next day they see him, you know, and he's like a lion. They said, what happened to that fella? I can't figure him out. But old Paul just stood there and the poison just went away. Why did that happen? Folks, because you've got the Holy Ghost. I said, you've got the Holy Ghost. Do you know what it is to have the Holy Ghost in you? Do you know what it is to have the Spirit of God running through your blood veins? Somebody said, well, I believe I've got the Holy Ghost, and that's what the Holy Ghost is. I believe I've got the Holy Ghost. That's not what the Holy Ghost is. The Holy Ghost is real. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God. It's the nature of Jesus Christ. It's that quickening Spirit. It's something that's living on the inside of your veins. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. The Bible said, be filled with the Spirit. Have you got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you? Have you got the Spirit of God? The Bible said, if you have not the Spirit of God, you're none of His. Have you got the Spirit of God on the inside of you? Tell me tonight, folks, have you got it? Do you feel it? The Bible said, if it's in you, it'll quicken your mortal body. Do you feel Him quickening? Do you feel God talking to you and stimulating you? Do you feel God moving you? Do you feel God doing something for you? What is it? The Holy Ghost. Glory to God. The Holy Ghost. Can't you just picture a man, a son of God, Brother Clayton? He's standing out here, got the Holy Ghost. And here comes somebody. If this somebody's going to put him to shame, and him with the Holy Ghost, him with the nature of Jesus Christ, and him a son of God, and that fella nothing but a scavenger, that fella nothing but a parasite, that fella nothing but a squatter on your land, man, all you got to do is run the abstract, get the law, and put him off. Isn't that right? He's a squatter. He doesn't have any right to that. Tell me, what right has the devil got to your body? What right has the cancer got to your body? What right has blindness got to you? What right has deafness got to you? All of that's the squatter. Glory to God. Go back and get the record. Pick up the Bible. Get the record. Go back and run the abstract. And it'll say, by my stripes you've been healed. Glory to God, you say, okay, on your way. Hallelujah. Glory to God, let the weak say everything's all right, Bill. Let the weak say I'm strong in God. What else can we do? Let the sick say I'm well in God. By His stripes I'm healed. Let that that's dying and going to the grave say I'm alive forevermore in God. I pass from death unto life. I'll never come into condemnation, for God has resurrected me from the dead. I once was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So then, God said, Daniel, oh, thou beloved man, Daniel. I wish I could hear God say that. You know, the angel said, oh, Daniel, you're so beloved in heaven. Oh, Daniel, precious Daniel. But you know what? A lot of times I think of it like this. I say, well, I'm a son of God. I got the blood of Jesus applied to my heart. I might not be very becoming when you look at me, and I might be repulsive when I talk. My old vocal organs might not sound like an orator. But you know what? Every time God sees me, I'm beautiful to Him. Every time God looks at me, I'm just perfect to Him. Every time God looks at me, I'm just exactly what He wants. You know, I thought about this a lot of times. You know, Gabriel talking to Michael and Michael talking to Gabriel. And I'm down here like a little old baby struggling down here. And Michael and Gabriel standing up there, great, mighty, powerful beings standing there looking at me and thinking, isn't he cute? You know, Gabriel say, ain't he cute, Michael? Look at him wiggle his toes, you know. Hallelujah, moving his spiritual hand, look at him. That's our babe down there. Glory to God, that's God's baby. Isn't he pretty? And then when that creeping snake in the grass begins to crawl up, and Michael gets excited, or Gabriel gets excited and hollers out to the angel, don't you let nothing happen to that baby. You see that snake in the grass coming over there, Michael. And that angel begins to bristle up and begins to raise up in power, and then the battle's on. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about war in heaven. And they begin to tie up. Boy, and I tell you, that angel knows it's, we say tit for tat, it's life for life. If he lets that babe of Christ get hurt, it's too bad. And you can be sure he ain't going to let him get hurt. They used to have a law, you know, that when a man was guarding a prison, if that prisoner got away, it was just too bad because that man served his time or that man was killed. You know, and you can be sure they didn't let him get away. Those angels have a charge concerning you, beloved friend, and you're precious in his sight. And God watches over you, and He longs for the day when you grow up in God, growing up not under the tutors, but keep growing up and keep having faith. And when you struggle, and the Bible said you stumble, you're doing your very best and you stumble, and condemnation comes running down at you, the Bible said don't condemn yourself over that which you allow. Don't get all cast down. Don't mess your faith up. Don't back off and get all frustrated and twisted up. Say, my God, you know I didn't mean to do that. I wasn't trying to do that. I was doing everything I could not to do that. And that devilish snake in the grass tripped me up, God. And you know, God, that I love you with all of my heart and all of my mind and all of my soul. And you just go on. And you raise up, and when time gets hard, when problems come and finance can't be reached or whatever it is, see, you just rise up and you stand there. You just stand there in the face of the devil, and you stand there by faith in God, and you stand there and say, I don't care. I don't care. I don't believe what I think. I don't believe what I know. I don't believe what somebody said. God said it. I believe it. That's the way it is. 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 You know, I've been going off of a mountain in a car. I put this faith to test. I've done it. I've been going off of a mountain in a car. You know, and the snow was there and slipping to the edge and just ready to go over a great mountain. And as it slipped to the edge and I knew I couldn't do nothing and maybe the wife tore up and the children screaming and hollering and crying, I'd say, it ain't so. God didn't say it that way. It won't never happen. We're coming out of that. And all of a sudden, them tires would take traction and them kids would say, Daddy, how can you believe right now? But the car would take hold and come out of that thing and God would save our lives. I'm telling you the truth. I've been in them when they'd leave, hit the ice, and leave and go down in the field and flip over on the side and flip back up on the wheel and just bounce around. But God kept me saved. I've been in them when my family would be going down the road and I'd hear a crash like that and we'd go spinning like a top and over into the ditch and over on the side and having to climb up and pull us out the side. But God took care of us. I've been in them when they'd go off of the bridge, off of the end of the bridge, and over down into the creek. And the doors would fly open and somebody'd sail out of the car, whatever. But I'd say, God, it isn't so. God, it isn't so. It isn't coming out that way. And all would be saved and there wouldn't be nothing wrong. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that. Well, it happened anyway. Glory to God, it happened anyway. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. It happened anyway. I was just telling him yesterday, I was up against the wall. I had to have $8,000. I had to have it just like that. And I had no way to get it. Everything was closed up. Had to have it in cash. It's just something that arose overnight. I had nothing to do with. And I had to have it. Had to have $8,000. I didn't have it. No way to get it. And there I stood with my back against the wall. I didn't go to nobody to ask him for it. I didn't try to figure out nothing. I just said, Lord, you said you'd supply all my needs. I got a need. Over $8,000. You know, and somebody else standing around that was bringing on the persecution said there'll never be no days like that. They'll never get $8,000, and especially right now. I said, God will take care of it. He said he would. And I said, Lord, what about it? He said, I've already taken care of it. He said, it's taken care of. I thought, well, how, you know? But I know if you said it, it is. And all of a sudden it began to click, And I said, my God, my God. I said, Lord, it's not just $8,000 that you've took care of, but you've took care of thousands of dollars more. And there it is. And you know, when the $8,000 in cash was taken up, and there it was counted out, the people just look. Their eyes looked, and they got weak like water. See, that wasn't for me. That was doing something for somebody else that had gotten a problem. And they were shoveling on the coal. But God help us. You know, and when we finally settled the problem about the individual for the over $8,000, then I thought, well, God, this is just for good measure. We'll do something for somebody else too. So we counted that out too. And they really got weak. And you know what? When we finished, they were just like putty in our hands. And they wanted to be friendly with us, and they wanted to have the fellowship with us, and they just got downright silly trying to be friends with us. You know why they did that? Because when that king saw the Hebrew children come out of that fire, he lost his composure. He didn't know what to say. He just stood there saying, look, 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 let's be friends. Let's you and me be friends. What would you like for me to do for you, for your God? And the Hebrew children just stood there with the reins in the hand. Old king said, you, whatever you know, we don't offend you now. Whatever you want, that's all right. Hallelujah. Somebody said the other day, he said, Brother Pike, I hope you don't hold us against us. I hope you're not offended, you know, and it just tore up. I said, no, it's okay. You love Jesus. The Bible said, if your ways please me, I'll make your enemies to be at peace with you. Oh, folks, don't you love Jesus? I'm talking about you. I'm talking about what you got. I'm talking about that you belong to God. I'm talking about having faith and the Spirit of God in your veins, the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about that tonight. You got the Holy Ghost in you. My, my, when problems come up, you know what you need to do? You need to just stand there. And the Bible said, having done all to stand, just stand there. I heard about a tornado one time ripping down across a place that was a barren place. And this man standing out there and had his tent out there. And while he was standing out there, this tornado comes sweeping down toward that tent. And that man standing out there, and he said, this is all I've got. This is my life. This is my livelihood. And he run out between that tornado and the tent. Now, I'd have run out the other way unless God had spoke to me. I'll be honest about it. But he run out between that tent, and he stood there like that. And he said, God, if you take my tent, take me. And that's on his over and went on his way. Can you believe that? Folks, it happened. Before God, those things happened. Jesus, oh, he's so real. He's so real. Just think about him being close to you now. Think about him being your helper in the time of need. Think about him helping you because that's what he does. Looking out through the earth, he wants to show himself strong for you. He wants to show himself strong for you. Say, Jesus, I love you. I'm on your side. I know you're on my side. Because the Bible said we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petition we desire of him. Isn't that right? Amen. Faith in God. Faith in God. I want you to stand with me. Folks, I believe. You know, I believe that the devil has kicked God's people around long enough. Don't you? I think it's about time that we rose up and took the kingdom. Revelation 11:15, and the last trumpet sounded, and the last angel sounded, and the voice said, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall rule and reign forever and ever. See, thinking about that and thinking about the wonderful power of God, and it said, and now has come salvation, now has come strength. Rejoice ye that dwell in heaven, for now has come strength. For the accuser of our brethren has been cast out. Did you know that this very meeting, did you know that this very day, did you know that July, this very independence, has to do with old Lucifer being cast out? Did you know that it has to do with that man-child going up to the throne, ruling with the rod of iron? You're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. You know who that man-child is? It's you. It's got to be you. There ain't but one man-child, that's Jesus. And who is Jesus? It's you. It's not me living, but Jesus, Paul said. It's Christ. It's Christ. And you're bone of his bone and you're flesh of his flesh. And I say this so often, somebody says, but he won't give his glory to us. No, the Bible said he will not give his glory to another. But brother, he gave me his glory a long time ago. He gave it to me through the love of God at Calvary. The Bible said he'll not give it to another, but I'm not another. I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. See, I'm not another. You know what he said concerning that glory? He said, Father, he said, glorify Brother Pike with the same glory I got. Are you listening? He said, glorify these with the same glory that I had with you before the world ever was. He said, these are not another, Father. Somebody say hallelujah. You got the glory of God, folks. You got the glory of God. You got it. The world hasn't got it, but you got it. How did you get it? Christ on the inside of you that was made heir to that glory. He alone. He's your hope of that glory. And you got it. You got it. But he stood on the mountain. They saw his glory. The veil came off and they saw his glory. Oh, I wonder if the veil can fall from your eyes tonight. I wonder if the scale can be taken away. Listen, beloved friend. The veil is falling off. The veil is falling off. There's a Trinitarian veil across the eyes of the people today. And they can't recognize that Jesus is that glory. And that great God image that was lost. That Shekinah covering that was lost in the garden. They can't realize that. But when Rebecca got into the chambers, secret chambers, and there she stood. When that lovely woman entered into the chambers, and there she stood before the mighty Isaac. There, you say, what was that? Standing before the mighty Isaac. You say, how could that be? Because he was the son of a millionaire, a rich man, a wealthy man. The Bible said Abraham was exceedingly rich. And there she stood. She knew from then on she could have the desires of her heart. What nothing standing between her and the desires of her heart except a veil. Just a veil. And there was. You know that veil. The Bible said we see through a glass darkly now. And I brought that out the other day. The veil. He rent it at Calvary. And there through a glass darkly we see. But someday, face to face. And that veil is to keep a shame face. Shame face. You know, and if you've got that veil, you can't change into his glory. Because the veil is between you and him. You say, what is that veil? It's that intellectual darkness of that tree of knowledge. That Lucifer thinking. That mind of evil. That gullibleness of the world and the flesh. Satan saves the things that be of the flesh. If the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. And that warring veil that's in between. But when Rebecca came in, when that lovely little lady that had persevered crossed that desert, sitting on that camel coming over, she had persevered and through the blistering hot sun she had come. She had trusted herself into the hands of a stranger that she did not know. You know, how did she do that, Brother Pike? She did it by faith. That man said, you're wanted. You're wanted if you'll listen at me. Said, my master sent for you. He wants you. But see, she had to take that by faith. A young lady. There she had to go with a stranger and travel many miles. Her daddy and some of them said, what kind of proof you got? And he opened up his bag. There was those jewels of splendor. And I'm sure that that young lady's eyes began to dance like jewels. He said, here, you can have some of them. Has God ever given you anything? Has God ever given you anything? He said, here, said, you can have some of them. And she got her hands on them and she saw those rubies and those diamonds and those pearls. And she looked at them and thought, these are mine. These are mine. He said, but that's just a little bit. Said, look here. And said, over yonder, you just have a whole trunk full of them. Because Abraham had them by the trunk full, according to the Bible. Said, you can have all of them. Said, can you go with me? Said, I believe I can. I believe I can. I believe I can. And by faith, she took a great chance. And she persevered across the desert. But beloved friend, when she walked into that chamber, even before she got to where she was going, she looked off in the distance. And the Bible said she saw him. And she said to the man, Eliezer, who is that out yonder? He said, that's him. That's him. That's all it took. When she saw him, she didn't need no jewels or nothing else. When she saw him, said, that's him, said, that's my master. He's going to meditate and pray. She slipped that veil on her face. You know why? Her mind was made up. Well, no backing out. When she got one glimpse of him, she knew she wanted to be his wife. And then besides that, he had everything. And the Bible said he took her into the chamber. And there, the veil was taken from her eyes. And the Bible says we shall see him as he is, not through a glass darkly, but we shall see him as he is. For when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And when the veil was taken away, no more shamefacedness. The love and the adoration and the interwoven caressable touch made them one. Made them one. Folks, if the veil ever slips away from your eyes, that old intellectual reasoning ever gets gone, and you look and you see him, and he sees you, and he looks at you one time, and you look at him, never again will you go back to the world. When you see that pearl of great price that he shows you, you won't never go back. You'll sell all you got to purchase that field. And when you see him like that, when you see him, remember, you become his bride. Because when the veil is taken away, you are then his. You are then his. But the veil isn't going to be taken away. The veil of death still remains over you. The darkness still remains over you. Unless you become his bride. And when you become his bride, the veil is taken away. The appearing of the Shekinah dispels and destroys, eradicates the dark infiltration of human error and human presumption. And all of a sudden, that innocent you on the inside marries that innocent him. And you become one. Folks, I want to be the bride, don't you? I want the veil to be taken away, Brother Jim. I want it to go away. And I want to meet him. I want to see him in the revelational God that he really is. We can do it. I want you to sing this little chorus with me. And let's worship him. Worship him in spirit. We have known him as a human body of sacrifice. Have known him as flesh and blood. As that which was persecuted and that which had to die for us. But today we know him as the great victorious Christ that's triumphed over death. The great mighty God of heaven that lives on the inside saying, I paid it all. I paid it all. You rejoice forevermore because I did it. You be strong in the power of my might. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even the fact that you believe I did it. That is your faith in what I have done. That faith is your victory. That's your triumph. That's your strength. The Bible said, don't cast away your faith, which hath great recompense of reward. Don't cast it away, beloved friend. Don't do that. Let's have faith in God. Can we do that? Okay, let's sing this little chorus together. We sang the song of entered into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. The Bible said to do that. So let's sing this together. We're gonna enter these gates with thanksgiving in our heart. We're going to enter courts with praise. I'm gonna say this is the day that my Lord hath made. And I'm gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Sing it with me, will you? Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus made me glad. Can you sing it with me? We're gonna enter God's gates with thanksgiving in the heart. We're gonna enter God's courts filled with praise. We're gonna say this is the day that the Lord hath made. And I'm gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. My Lord made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Sing it again now. I'm going to enter these gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'm going to enter God's courts with praise. I'm going to say this is the day that my Lord hath made, and I'm going to rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Sing it again now. My Lord made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice. Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Oh, my Lord made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. So let's enter these gates with thanksgiving in our heart. Let us enter these courts here with praise. Let us say this is the day that my Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Sing that now while I pray for the little one. Jesus made me glad. Father, tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus, I ask you to heal the little one. Oh God, in the wonderful name of Jesus, I feel you healing him right now. Give him strength, Jesus. Father, give him healing tonight. Father, let your spirit go through him tonight and heal. Strength, oh God, I feel it right now in the lovely name of Jesus. Father, bless Tom tonight. May your spirit enter into this body and into this heart. God, to break every yoke and to give strength tonight. Father, to bless in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus made me glad, and I'm going to rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. One more time now. We're going to enter God's gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. We're going to enter God's courts with praise. I'm going to say this is the day that my Lord hath made, and I'm going to rejoice. Jesus made me glad. Sing it with me now. Oh, he hath made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. And I'm going to rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, he hath made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. And I'm going to rejoice. Jesus made me glad. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I ask you to heal this little one. May your spirit be here tonight, mighty God of heaven. Heal, oh God, heal. Father, heal this little one in the name of Jesus. May thy spirit be here tonight. May the blessings of God work a miracle tonight. Heal in the name of Jesus. Father, heal this person tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus. I feel your miraculous healing here tonight. I feel the power of God here tonight. Heal in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'd like for you ministers to come up here and pray with me. Would you do that? Brother Jim, Brother Cole, y'all come up here and pray with me. I'd like for my ministers back here. Will y'all come and pray with me, your ministers back there? Come up here, Brother Jameson, some of you fellas, and let's pray for these people tonight. I feel the anointing of God here tonight. I feel God's Spirit tonight. Do you feel it here? Come around here, brother. Will y'all come around here and pray with me? I feel God here tonight. I feel his anointing here tonight. The Bible teaches that the anointing will break the yoke. These men believe in prayer. They believe in divine deliverance. They believe in healing. And I feel God's Spirit here tonight to heal, glory to God. And I feel that we'll move in and pray and talk to God tonight. I believe God will do something for these people. I believe you can get your healing tonight. How many believe you can get your healing tonight? Let me see a hand. Are you using your faith tonight? Are you using your faith tonight? How many believe that you can get your healing tonight? Lift up your hands tonight. Folks back out there, lift up your hands. Will you do that? that you're in the balcony, it doesn't matter where you're at, just lift up your hand tonight and move in the Spirit of God tonight. Move. God will heal you tonight. Glory to God. As these people pray tonight, I know God's going to heal. I can feel God healing tonight. Lift your hands up while these people pray for you. Lift your hands up tonight and praise God tonight. Brother Jim, just lay hands on them. Let's pray for them tonight if you will. Hallelujah. I feel the presence of God, Charles. Glory to God. Something's happening tonight. Something's happening tonight. I can tell it. Something's taking place tonight. God's breaking that yoke tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's breaking that yoke tonight. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, may you heal tonight. May you heal tonight. May you heal tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May you deliver tonight. May your spirit be here tonight, God. And may something wonderful happen tonight. Grant your blessing, God. Heal these people tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Can you believe tonight? Can you lift up your hands tonight? Can you trust in God tonight and let God heal you, folks? I feel God moving by Spirit tonight. God will do something for you. If you'll believe tonight, if you don't doubt tonight, if you'll just believe tonight, God will do something for you. Hallelujah. This is camp meeting, folks. This is the time to get your deliverance. That's what God's doing. There's something special happening tonight. Hallelujah. I can tell something's taking place tonight. I can tell something special is taking place tonight. I believe that God is healing tonight, Bill. I believe that God's healing tonight. I believe people can go away tonight with a real, genuine God healing tonight. I believe that God will take cancer out of your bloodstream tonight. I believe God will put in your heart tonight that same wonderful Holy Ghost that killed that poison that was in Paul's bloodstream. I believe God will kill that poison in your bloodstream tonight. I know that God will do it. I know He will do it tonight. God will heal you tonight. God will kill that poison. God will kill that cancer and that blood tonight. If you'll just let Him do it, God will do away with it. God will do something for you tonight. Hallelujah. Let's praise God. God inhabits the praise of His people. Can you praise God tonight? You people in the audience back there, let's praise God tonight. Folks, this is camp meeting. Let's praise God. Lift up your hands back there. Get the yoke broke off of you. Get ready for the change. Get ready to meet God. Hallelujah. While they're praying for you tonight, let God do something for you. Let God do something for you. Let God do something for you tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel God doing something, James. Glory, 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 hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. I feel God doing something tonight. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and love the Lord. Lift up your hearts to God tonight and let God bless you. Can you do it tonight? Can you do it tonight? Come on, folks. Let's worship God. Come on, folks. Let's turn loose and serve God tonight and praise God tonight. Lift up your hands and lift up your hearts and lift up your faith tonight. God's doing something. God's doing something. These men praying for you. God's doing something tonight. Let's let faith have its way. Let God do something tonight for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God in Jesus' name. Brother Jim, did you pray for these two right here? Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Can you say hallelujah? Folks, can you say hallelujah? Can you say hallelujah? Can you praise God? God is a spirit. Hallelujah. And God wants to bless you tonight. Can you say hallelujah? Can you say praise the Lord? Can you lift up your heart tonight? Can you enjoy the presence? Hallelujah. In Jesus' name tonight, can you move by the Spirit? Worship God tonight. God is a spirit. God is the invisible flow. God is the spirit. God is the spirit of power. God is the spirit of healing. God is that great, wonderful spirit that moves in and out the windows of your heart, down through your being, down through your bloodstream. Oh, hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Can you say praise the Lord tonight? Can you really genuinely praise God tonight? Oh, can you say hallelujah, folks? Can you say hallelujah, folks? Can you say praise the Lord? Can you say praise the Lord, brethren? Can you say praise the Lord? Can you lift your voice up, folks, back here in the balcony? Can you praise God back there? Can you lift your hands up to God? You that are in the audience, can you lift your hands up to God? Can you praise God tonight? Do you love the Lord? The Bible said, "Would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting." When you lift up that hand tonight, God sees Calvary. God sees His Son hanging there tonight. If you want that mercy, if you want the blessings of God tonight, if you want the great, wonderful Father Spirit to look down out of heaven on you tonight, lift your hands up to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you love Jesus? Folks, it's not time to stop praising God. It's not time to stop praising God. They continued in the upper room and they praised God. And they loved God. And God gave them strength. Moses continued on the mountain and he praised God. Daniel continued for 21 full days of mourning. And God came and the angels came. It's time that we begin to rise up and praise God. It's time that we begin to get in with God and move by the Spirit of God and let God do something for us. It's time that the saints of God come out of the shadows. Oh, my brother, are you a son of God tonight? My sister, are you a daughter of God tonight? Come out of the shadows. Come out of the veil tonight. Come out of the human reasoning tonight. Get in the stream of God tonight. Move by the Spirit of God tonight. It's time that you overcome your enemy. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Can you say glory to God? Can you say glory to God? Can you say glory to God? Glory to God. Can you say praise the Lord? Can you say praise the Lord? Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel God moving tonight. I feel the Spirit of God. I feel the presence of the Lord. I feel the yoke being broken. I feel people getting healed tonight. Can you worship God? Can you praise the Lord tonight? Come on, folks. Let's love God tonight. Let's praise the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Is there a bomb in Gilead? I tell you, there's a bomb in Gilead. If thou canst believe, Jesus said, if thou canst believe, if thou canst believe, glory, 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 glory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord. You give out too quick. Your strength goes too quick. Oh, glory to God. You need to praise God. You need to worship God. You need to ask God for that strength. Hallelujah. That super strength of God. Glory to God. He'll give it to you. He'll give it to you. He'll make you strong. He'll make you strong in the power of God's might tonight. Don't be afraid. Let's worship God. Let's worship God. Let's love God. Let's move in the Spirit. Let's move in the Spirit. Folks, let's worship God. Let's worship God. Let's worship God. Listen to me tonight. You folks back in the balcony, you folks back in the seats, how about coming up here? How about stepping out and coming up here? How about joining us in this wonderful thing for Christ? Step out, move in, back us up, stand behind us. Let the Spirit of God move through you tonight. Hallelujah. If things is not right with God, beloved friend, make it right with God. If it isn't what you want, get in there and stay with God till you get it. Can you do that tonight? Can you do that tonight? Can you do that? Let's give God a hand clap tonight. Can you do that tonight? Can you clap your hands for Jesus tonight? The Bible said, clap your hands, all you people. and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Clap your hands for Jesus tonight. Clap your hands for God tonight. Lift up your hearts and your spirit to God to make a joyful noise to God tonight. Can you clap your hands for Jesus tonight? Can you do it? Can you do it? Hallelujah. Can you give God a wave offering tonight? Can you give God a wave offering tonight? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the Old Testament, God said, wave that thing before me. Wave that thing before me. Lift up holy hands and worship God tonight. Don't you want to take your place in God tonight? Don't you want your place in God tonight? Do you want somebody to take your crown tonight? The Bible said, hold fast, let no man take your crown. I tell you tonight, folks, God wants to use you. God wants to use you. God wants to use you. You say, Brother Pike, but God wants to use you. God wants to use you tonight. God needs you tonight. God needs you tonight. Hallelujah. There ain't nobody can take your place. There ain't nobody can take your place. Glory to God, you've got a job, and he's got a job, and she's got a job, and they've got a job, and we've got a job to go into all the world to be about our Father's business. Come on, folks, say hallelujah. Come on, folks, say hallelujah. I said we got a job tonight to go into all the world with the gospel, to preach this divine gospel to every creature. Let the saints of God rise up and take the kingdom. Folks, it's here. I said it's here. We're not waiting for it. It is here. It is not something that's coming. It is here. It is time to take the kingdom of God. It is time to take the kingdoms of this world. It's time to move as the saints of God. Move as the great and the mighty army by the power of the living God. The time is here. Can you love the Lord? Can you love the Lord? Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Say praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Everything's going to be all right. I said everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right, Junior. Everything's going to be all right. Folks, I said everything's going to be all right. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? Everything's all right, Father. Everything's all right. Hallelujah. Wave the answer back to heaven. By his grace, I will. Watchman, what of the night? Everything's all right. It's all right because of Calvary, Father. Everything's all right. Glory to God, it's all right. It's all right. Ooh, I feel God. Don't you feel God? Oh, I can feel God tonight. I can feel God tonight. Everything's all right. Oh, everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Since Jesus came and saved my soul, everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Since Jesus came and saved my soul, everything's gonna be all right. So let us praise him. Praise him. Oh, praise him in the morning. Praise him at the noontime. I'm gonna praise. I want to praise. Praise him when the sun goes down. For sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven's come down, oh heaven's come down. And sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven's come down. He laid it away and there was no more law. And you know what happened? There was no more transgression. Because when there's no law, there's no transgression. Isn't that right? And you know what happened? When there was no more transgression, then, beloved friend, there was no more sin. Are you listening to me tonight? There was no more sin. Are you listening tonight? There was no more sin. When the law was folded up and laid away, there was no more transgression and there was no more sin. You say, how do you know that there was no more sin, Brother Pike? Because the Bible said transgression of the law is sin. And where there is no law, there's no transgression. Is that right? And if there is no transgression, there is no sin. Come on, folks. Come on, folks. If that ain't Bible, you ought to tell me. God said, preach the word. If I'm telling you the Bible, you say amen. And if it ain't Bible, you say, wait a minute, Brother Pike. You got to go one way or another, ain't you, Brother Clay? All right, now. If there is no law, there's no transgression. If there's no transgression, there is no sin. And whether you believe it or not, and I hope you can say amen, where there's no sin, there's no death. Come on, folks. Come on, folks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You've got the answer. You've got the answer. Hallelujah. Death has been swallowed up in victory. And what is that victory? The Bible said your faith is the victory. I've destroyed him that hath power over death. Glory to God, you'll never come into condemnation. There is no death, beloved friend. There is no death. There is no death. You cannot die. There is no death. We're not going to elaborate on that tonight. You've heard us do it, some of you. But you know it's the truth. Oh, don't that make you happy? I don't know how that makes you feel. But I'll tell you, that makes me feel good. Hallelujah. I said, that makes me feel good. I never did like the idea of dying from the beginning. I never did like it from the beginning. And I'll tell you, it rejoiced my heart the day I found out that God and death was enemies. I said, well, glory to God. If you're the enemy of death, I'm sure on your side, God, that's for sure. Because I never favored that. Hallelujah. And God said, well, I don't have any pleasure in it either. I said, well, I don't either. Me and you got to get together for sure. Hallelujah. Don't you love God tonight? God, the Spirit of life. God wants you to live tonight, folks. He's the Prince of life. He come to give you life in that more abundant, which means filled up and overflowing. Somebody said, well, I'm alive, but he said alive without cancer. Come on now. He didn't just say live a little bit, now did he? Somebody said, well, I think I'm going to make it, Brother Pike. But he didn't say that, did he? He said, I want you to have it abundantly. How much is that? That's filled up and overflowing. Are you listening? I said, that's filled up and overflowing. That means when your cup runs over, Joe gets some of it. And when Joe's runs over, I get some of it. Somebody say, praise God. I'm talking about filled up and overflowing life. I'm talking about something that'll run over, folks. It'll help somebody else. It'll get all over somebody else. You got so much life, you say, whew, I feel pretty good. I feel better. Glory to God. So, thank you. Somebody standing close to you, they say, well, I'm feeling better too. You say, glory to God, and get to jumping around like Brother Jim was a while ago. And somebody says, I really do feel good. Hallelujah. Glory to God, first news you know, it's done run over and everybody's feeling good. How many's feeling good tonight? See, somebody's cup run over tonight. Seeing everybody around you gets to feeling good. Now just thinking, somebody's cup run over tonight and all these got to feeling good. Think about all your cups running over. How many's going to get to feeling good? Come on, folks. Don't you love Jesus? Let's lift your hands up and love him tonight. Can you do that tonight? Can you do that tonight? I want y'all to sing that song, Up Above My Head. I believe something's up right, y'all.
All right. Up above my head, there is music in the air. Up above my head, there is music in the air. Up above my head, above my head, the shouting in the air.